You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and happy Galentine's Day. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, February 13th. Galentine's Day for us. Palentine's Day for my friend Greg Bach on the board. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I've been here all week guest hosting for Pat Kreitlow, who's going to be back on Monday. As I said, Greg Bach is on the board. You know, the two of us together, we are Bach and the Doc.
Dr. Lyerly, so I don't have music, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play my theme song for the in-tournament Bucks Cup. Are you ready for this? It's a custom-made piece of music that I put together for you that is just indicative of who we are as a team. There you go.
Yeah. That captures it.
Yeah. And I can't get sued. They can't find the music.
And that's how today's going to go. That and we have an incredible guest host co-hosting with me this morning. I'm really excited to welcome Kewaunee's own, the pride of Kewaunee, Renee Peplum. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly. Good morning, Greg. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
We're just having some coffee together on Galentine's Day and talking about, we're dedicating the whole show today to Women Win Wisconsin. This is all about women in leadership in the state. And not only is Renee here, but we've got Senator Jody Habersinickan joining us later, Representative Margaret Arney, and late breaking news, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is going to be hopping on board. Yay!
Wow.
I know. Yeah. And at the very end of the show, I'm going to give a little sneak peek of a special project that I'm working on, so you're not going to want to miss that. And then that's it for me this week. I got to go back to work. I know.
Don't you want to quit all that doctoring and get into the high power world of talk radio? All right, you didn't have to laugh.
It's the high power world of talk radio. Yeah. I'm really flexing all week long. Yeah, but I gotta deliver a baby tomorrow. So I'm gonna hand the reins over to Todd Alba, who is, you know, always delightful and great to wake up with. The man had a stethoscope on yesterday when he joined us.
Well, he found out that, like, in order to host the show this week, you had to be a doctor. And so he went to, he stuffed 8 years of medical school in about 38 minutes, and then he got a stethoscope. I trust him.
I was confused. Yeah. I don't know. And speaking of Todd's.
Yeah.
Could we just wish our favorite Northeast Wisconsin jack of all trades, the voice, Todd Michaels. It's his birthday today.
It's his birthday? Well, hold on 1 second.
Uh-huh. We love you, Todd Michaels. Uh-huh. He's the pride of Oshkosh.
He is. He is a amazing human being. Just fantastic.
Yeah. Wonderful. Kind, excellent, and that voice. He's got the radio voice.
Oh, he does. He, yes, at all times, too. Like, it's not just the radio, but in meetings, on the phone, it doesn't matter. He could be, like, in the middle of a crisis. He's like, I need to get to the hospital right now.
And you're like, that's actually his voice. It just is the voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Whereas, you know, we're just here. Renee's in her living room.
You know. Okay. No need to tear people down to prop others up. We all have our traits and our good qualities. So
not everybody can be a Todd Michaels.
Fair point. That's very true.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? We're having a heat wave in Hayward this morning.
Oh, really?
No, it's minus 18. But it's a heat wave compared to the minus 21 that it was yesterday.
And how much did you get any snow at all by you all?
We did. We got, you know, a fair amount. I don't know. How much did you get over on the eastern part of the state, Renee?
Go on, Renee.
Oh, I'm not sure. We probably got a good 3-4 inches, if not a little more.
Mm-hmm. What about you down south, Greg?
I would say probably about 6-7 inches, but after everything, I mean, I plowed once yesterday evening, and then when I woke up this morning, there was more. And thank you, city where I live, the workers plowed us in, and I had to drive over a lump of snow because there's no time to take care of that this morning.
What are they supposed to do? This is the thing.
No. I need like an hour. Just give me 1 hour and I'll get to the place of rational thought and be like, yes, that's their job. There's nothing to do. But right now I get to channel my father and just be very upset for no reason.
We all have that feeling though. Like yeah. I still have the snow on the bottom of my driveway from the last snowstorm that we lived through. But I'm leaving, so my kids are going to have to deal with it.
Oh,
That's my strategy this morning. Like I leave this morning, so the kitchen is a mess. I'm like, bye guys, see ya.
See, the thing is, you have 4 sons. I feel like that right there. You just have a lineup of like there's nothing you have to deliver babies, do radio, and that's it. They have to do everything else: mm-hmm. mow the lawn, shovel, clean, do all that stuff. That's just an understanding to me.
They only do it under duress, though. Like it gets really bad. They get to the point where there are no plates left. And then they're like, okay, fine.
I mean, I don't need to tell you this, but all boys under the age of 18 are under duress all the time for anything they have to do. I mean, I remember looking back. I was just thinking about it one day. I was taking out the trash, and I thought to myself, why did I whine about a chore that took literally 45 seconds?
Like probably spent more time protesting than actually doing it.
Yeah, the amount of time I spent from ask to doing it, the amount of time I spent in between, I could have taken out the trash for the rest of my life. But it was just like, I don't want to go to the trash. Do you realize what chore? Like, that's the luckiest chore next to emptying the dishwasher.
Hey, Renee, how does this run at your house?
Chores? Oh, my husband is really helpful. He does a lot of the dishes and helps with all the garbage, all the stuff. And then the little one, we've got an 8-year-old, so we have her pitch in when she can and feed the animals, help put away groceries. So we don't fight too much about it.
What's it like to have a daughter?
Not yet. I'm sure when she gets older, we'll have, you know, she's only 8, so I'm sure we'll get there too.
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to get to the level of where I'm at with these 4 boys. I have a feeling that this is my prediction for your future. Hold on, I'm going Karnak right now. I think she's going to be helpful for you. There you go.
I think so too. It's looking that way. But I remember how I was. Much like Greg, it seems so stressful to have to do little chores. Yeah. So we'll see.
Can you vacuum? Can you vacuum the living room? Why do you hate me, Mom? Don't you see I have television to watch?
Or could you load the dishwasher? I know you told me. Then why didn't you do it?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Fine. And then you angrily load the dishwasher, just trying not to break anything, but trying to get your point across.
That's why I bought all the Corel plates, because I got, we were chipping plates and I'm like, okay, we're done with this. We're going with Corel. I've learned a few things along the way. Hey, speaking of a few things along the way, let's run through the rest of the temperatures. In Wausau, it is 1 whole degree, -4 in Eau Claire, -1 in La Crosse. Milwaukee, the hot spot. 16 degrees.
Oh boy.
Wisconsin Rapids is 0. Amory -13. And I mentioned Hayward is -18. What about balmy Racine?
Balmy Greg? Racine is right there up there with Milwaukee. Double digits, 16, baby. Get the shorts out and the tanning butter.
You know that there could be people with shorts out though.
Oh, I know.
Because that's how we roll.
It's the big guy uniform. The big guy uniform we wear are shorts, shoes, T-shirt, hoodie, maybe a hat.
Maybe a hat.
Yeah, we're a hot race of individuals, and I don't mean hot as in like yeah. I mean hot as in like I'm so warm right now.
Well, if you all are feeling warm out there like Greg is, come on and join us. Join this conversation at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app. or leave a comment on our Facebook or YouTube page. Friends, the spring primary is in less than a week.
Oh, that's right.
It's on Tuesday. Yeah. Renee, what's your voting plan?
Oh, well, I'm going to vote after work on the 18th, and I know who I'm voting for.
Nice, nice. So everybody's got the state superintendent of schools on their ballot. Some folks have a school board, other municipal offices. If you want to know what's on your ballot, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Everything is there. Put in your name, your address. It's all right there so you know. So you'll go to the polls prepared, which is good.
I think that's good. It's good to have a plan. And Kristen, the other thing that's great about myvote.wi.gov is the fact you can go there, put in your address, you can find out who your representatives are, you can find out where your polling place is, you can look at a sample ballot, and also when you have the time, you don't have the time now, but you can also actually order your ballots to be delivered to your house. You can fill them out at home, and you can send them off. You can take care of that for you. All of that is available at myvote.wi.gov, but it's a great, great website, and it's got phone numbers to all your representatives. So if you want to give them a call and tell them how they're doing, as we always say, be nice. You're not talking to the senator. You're talking to an intern right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a good idea, though, because they could use our feedback right now. Mm-hmm. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and apparently there's a cursive bill coming up next week, the mandatory have to teach cursive in elementary school. You're going to hear more about that. Of course, we've got postpartum Medicaid extension that is on the line. There are a couple representatives. Most people have signed on. Two-thirds of the reps have already signed on. So this is a bipartisan, bicameral bill, very popular. But if your rep hasn't signed on, that's a good reason to give them a ring. You know, it's always good to know who represents you. That's how representative government works.
Yepers. Wait, and I need to know, and we can maybe talk about it on the other side of the break or off air, but a cursive bill?
Yeah, that's happening. Because that's a priority. We need to make sure that the kids can write. The doctor on the call is right now saying that we need to make sure that kids can write cursive.
Grand. Grand. As a fan of cursive, this is so dumb.
You know, our priorities are a little kind of all over the place right now. Everything's a little all over the place right now.
I'd say the technical term is wackadoodle.
It's a little wackadoodle. But the good news is that we've got some really, really good people in our state legislature. We've got some incredible people in the pipeline, and many of these people are women. And many of them are women who are running or holding office for the first time. And we're going to talk to them, a few of them, today. So when we come back, what actually is this Women Win Wisconsin thing? Renee and I are going to break it down for you. In the meantime, this is Dr. Kristen Lyerly on Civic Media Mornings from the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach. Of course, we are Bach in the Doc, filling in for Pat Krylo, who's coming back on Monday. And we have the amazing Renee Peplum joining us as my co-host this morning. Renee, Women Win Wisconsin. We've been doing this for over a year now.
Wow, that is amazing. And look how it's grown. Look how many women. I mean, I can't believe how many women I've met that are just incredible.
Yeah. And this whole initiative really started because we recognized that there aren't enough women in leadership. And the way to change that is to organize, which is something that you are just so good at. And we're going to hear Renee's story later today. Of course, Renee is the former candidate for Assembly District 1, which is Door County and Kewaunee County and part of Brown. It's that thumb area that is trending. Trending blue.
Yeah, it's Door County is a bright beacon, and we just hope to bring all that good energy down the lakeshore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here in Wisconsin, a third of the legislature is made up of women. That's 44 women in the legislature, which is a record. It's actually a massive record because the old record was 41. So the record is a third. Of course, women are more than a half of the population. So we haven't quite gotten to that parity point. And amongst other states, we're number 28. We're way behind. We're also way behind on some other measures that tell us how women are respected in Wisconsin, like postpartum Medicaid extension. We're going to be dead last on that one, actually. Arkansas is about to pass something, so it's just going to be us hanging out there.
That's really upsetting.
Yeah. In a state where so many of our leaders talk about how they value life and families, and here's something that they could do to actually save the lives of moms, and just too stubborn to do it.
Well, I tend to think that they put a financial cost on everything, and the things that they think aren't worth it are things that are very important to me. And postpartum care is definitely on that list.
Hey, and there's actually a financial benefit to extending postpartum care. But I digress. Let's talk more about women. So guess what percentage of women the assembly contains? How many women, like what percent of women are in the assembly?
Do,
34. It is. Yeah, it's a third in the assembly. It's a third in the Senate. Good work. Now, of those 34 women, how many do you think are Democrats and how many do you think are Republicans?
20 or 21 Democrats.
Oh, you're not close. It's 26 Democrats and 8 Republicans.
Wow.
There are so many more women in the Democratic Party, both in the Assembly and the Senate. Actually, in the Senate, 8 Democrats, 2 Republican women. So yeah, it's a lot. There are many, many more women in the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party's platform tends to reflect the initiatives that women are concerned about.
And the D word, diversity.
Yeah, diversity. The D word, I know. We can break it up though. We can't say DEI, but we can say diversity.
Right. I think so. I'm not sure anymore.
I think we can still say whatever we want.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Now, over half of the Democratic senators are women, which is pretty remarkable considering that the first woman to serve in the Wisconsin Senate was Catherine Morrison back in 1975. It's only been since 1975 since we've had a woman senator. And the first woman in leadership in the legislature wasn't elected until 2015.
Oh, my goodness.
So we are way behind. 57% of the Democrats are women. Only 13% of the Republicans are women. So you can see what the breakdown looks like. And in the U.S. Congress, they're even further behind. Only 25% of our congressional reps are women. More now than ever.
Wow.
Yeah. 41% of those women are Dems. 16% are Republicans. So why is this the case? You know, obviously we're behind, but it's harder for women to run. Women are less likely to self-promote. We need more people to tap us on the shoulder and say, you are the right person. And Renee, that was definitely your experience.
Yeah, you tapped me a couple times.
It wasn't just me.
Well, and that you're right. You have to be convinced that that's something that you can do, that's achievable. And you're right. We do need a lot of taps and reminders to first plant that seed and then try to envision yourself doing that role. And so, yeah, we just need to keep being the example for young women and young girls and make them believe that they can be in those roles, too.
Hey, and recognizing that sometimes we don't see things in ourselves that others see in us. So being open to that and not afraid to take a chance.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think just generally speaking, our culture here and definitely the way I was raised is that you're not supposed to talk about yourself. You're not supposed to, you know, showcase or tell everyone what your skill set is. That's just not considered polite. And so I think, you know, women internalize a lot of that stuff. And so then we don't go promoting ourselves in the way that leadership roles need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's part of the culture too. Hey, I think the culture tends to be very gendered. Our institutions are very gendered. They value men, masculinity, femininity, and women tend to be devalued. And, you know, speaking of value, funds, dollars are always the foundation of politics. And when it comes to campaign funding, men make more money. They have more business connections. They're more in that game that drives politics. So they have more access to that.
Boy, this seems to just mirror everywhere in society, no matter what role we're talking about or, you know, what occupation. This is the same thing that women have been fighting for forever. And that's just to be recognized as though we are intelligent and capable and have skill sets that can lead people and do good work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And when we look at the current leadership, what do we see? Who's up there?
Right.
You know, it's white guys. It's old white guys. When the current leaders look like us, whether it's more women of color, more people from the LGBTQ community, we see them and we think, I can be like that. So the more we can have representation at that level, the more likely we'll have candidates coming forward feeling like they too can be part of that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is why we need an initiative like Women Win Wisconsin. We need to continue to get out there and talk to people, cultivate leaders. There are so many incredible women all across the state in places like Kewaunee and Wauwatosa, Representative Arnie, who we're talking with later today. Of course, Madison, Secretary of State Godlewski coming up later, and Jody Habish-Sinikin in the Milwaukee area. So we are so excited when we come back. One of the extraordinary women who won Wisconsin is going to join us. Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin is on deck. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach on the board. And we've got Renee Peplum joining us from her living room. And hey, we've got the incredible Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin popping in. Speaking of women who won in Wisconsin, Senator Habish-Sinikin, thank you for joining us this morning.
And thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
I am so happy you're here and so excited to learn more about how things are going in the Senate, what your experience has been up to this point. But before we get to that, you have been on an incredible journey. It all started back with the special election. Just let's go back in the time machine. Remember that special election? It was Janet Protasiewicz was running for the Supreme Court race. And down in the Milwaukee area, we had Senate District 8. And there was Jody Habish-Sinikin running for this challenging seat with this difficult map. The eyes of the nation were on you. Take us back to that time.
Well, thank you, Kristen. And you very much know that you were there helping with my effort. This is the right time to, in advance, say thank you again. But it was with so much help, and it was just the pressure point on drawing attention to the gerrymandered maps. In that race, there was a recognized, built-in 12-point Republican advantage. It seemed insurmountable, but at that point, I jumped in when I was running against two election deniers who had joined that letter threatening Mike Pence with failing to serve, you know, wanting him to not certify the election results. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, gosh, somebody's got to come forward. And we got darn close, as you know. We came within 2 points, and it really was that mobilizing that energy that we needed to do something about these maps and to have people in the district picking our legislators and not the other way around. And we certainly got out there. So many of the issues of today that we are moving the needle on with regard to reproductive health, voting rights, popular issues like Medicaid expansion, affordable childcare, and the list goes on. So that kind of where the energy built. And after that experience, I leaned in again and ran under the new fairer maps, as we all know.
after you took a break. I mean, that was intense. You were running such an uphill race in such a difficult district. And Renee and I were just talking before you came on about how challenging it is anyway for women to run, because it's harder for us to raise funds. It's harder for us to step into the limelight. We're just not used to this. I mean, you are an experienced environmental activist and advocate and a very well-known professional human being, but still taking that leap to run for office in a time like this, in a district like that, you needed a breather in between running under that map and running under the new maps.
Yeah, I think I did. I did evaluate. And again, under these new fair maps, the next person I was running against was Senator Dewey Strobel. Mm. And again, I felt this, it is a combination of pressure and opportunity, trying to figure out who else would have the ability to be successful against him. And I really mean it, the opportunity, because it was by no means a sure thing. The Senate District 8 was the most competitive district under the new fair maps, this time with a 6-point Republican advantage, some say 7. So again, it was harnessing that energy about the possibility. And in the case of that election, he was well known as a extreme obstructionist presence in the legislature. So that was something that our campaign was able to harness in terms of trying to bring people to this sense of possibility that we can actually get things done in the legislature if we elect legislators who are willing to work across the aisle to actually make incremental or more significant progress. So yes, it was ultimately successful, and I feel grateful for that.
Hey, that's exactly the point. You know, having competitive districts where it's not such a huge advantage for one side or the other, because that really means that the voters do get to choose, and they're not choosing based on Republican or Democrat. They're choosing based on who is the best person to represent me. Renee has a very similar district that she ran for, Assembly District 1 up in Northeast Wisconsin. And you, I think that your stories are so similar with regards to the battles that you've fought. This second race, Jody, you won. And you are now one of the freshman senators, one of the people who is bringing these important issues to light. We've already talked about postpartum Medicaid extension a little bit. That just got a hearing yesterday. How, from your perspective, you're a mom of 4 kiddos, so this is something that I'm sure personally means something to you as well. How is that process going in the Senate these days?
Well, I found that definitely a slight with that bill, getting that hearing yesterday in the Senate Health Committee, and I heard it was well received. That showcases how even a small change in the makeup of the legislature can make a difference. I'm certain that you both know that the singular no vote last time this bill came before the Senate, this interest in extending Medicaid coverage postpartum for women that would allow Wisconsin to leave the ranks of being only one of 2 states not allowing it, us in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Allow us to leave these ranks, please. But having that, the one vote is, I'm sure your listeners are inferring, was Senator, at that time, Senator Dewey Strobel. Mm-hmm. And without that no vote, we can then move on to the Assembly. Mm-hmm. And it's just a significant moment again for just a sense of appreciation that we do have new fairer maps that allows an outcome like that to at least start moving. So that I do feel really grateful for that. I did talk quite a bit about it on my campaign, but as you said, as a mom, there is a vulnerability for women. Pregnancy and having children is obviously just a wonderful gift and privilege, but it comes with significant health risks. We all know it, but the need to be able to provide that medical care coverage up to the 12 months is so important. And it helps not just, of course, the women in that situation, but also their entirety of the family structure. So I do feel grateful that there can be progress in that regard. And I actually am hopeful this time that it will move forward.
Hey, I am too. And to your point, we know that most women who die related to their pregnancy die in the postpartum period. And we know that 80% of these deaths are preventable. So passing this bill will save the lives of moms. It will keep families together. And it will keep communities whole. When you lose a mom in a community, that's devastating. So this is a real opportunity for us in the legislature.
I agree. I expect you might have been talking about this, but for your early bird listeners, I actually am feeling there is reason for hope, at least for us here in Wisconsin. I imagine the two of you are hearing from people who are very understandably overwrought and concerned about the chaos and uncertainty at the federal level with these reckless spending freezes and executive orders. It's just a lot. It's a blank storm, you know, it really, really is. And it keeps people off a sense of balance. But I just want to say that in Wisconsin, we have we're in far better shape in terms of creating a buffer and some opportunity for us. And ideally, other states can follow. Of course, we all know we have Governor Evers, who has people's back. We have Attorney General Josh Cowell, who is fighting in the courts. And for us, we do have amazing Democratic, our legislative leaders in the Senate and the Assembly are outstanding, Senator Hesselbein and Representative Greta Neubauer. So we are in a dynamic place that we can adapt and help people through these very much uncertain times. So I just want to let people know that, because when people have more of a sense of hope, then they can unlock and really start get engaged. This is not a time to be a bystander. And this is the time that we need to get ourselves ready, vote on April 1st, do the things that we need to do as citizens to keep our state safe and moving forward.
I just want to repeat what you said. Don't lose hope. Here in Wisconsin, we have a buffer. We are going to be okay because we are going to engage. We are already engaging and we are going to continue moving forward. We're going to do it together.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your area of expertise, because you are an environmental policy expert and a champion of clean water. And that's a big deal here in Wisconsin. How do you see that playing out during your tenure in the Senate? What are your plans?
I, of course, as you can imagine, I imagine like the two of you have big hopes and plans for Wisconsin. It's really to move us forward. Unfortunately, under the gerrymander and in the years that have ensued since, we have fallen back. We have become more of an outlier in the state with regard to our natural resources and need to really return to that compass point of best management practices and best available science. Get back to that. That has very much been our standard and our tradition here in Wisconsin. We've always before been a leader in the conservation of our natural resources, our wildlife, our places, and most certainly our water. We can get back there. And I certainly, yes, do have plans. We can start with, you know, making sure to protect our stewardship funds for our public lands. That is right now going to be a big topic of discussion. And as well as so many people have concerns with our water quality, particularly in those communities affected by PFAS or forever chemical contamination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Renee gets that being up in Kewaunee County. Absolutely. You know, water is fundamental for all of us, obviously. But here in Wisconsin, it's not a tree hugging situation. This is like, this is important to the economy of our states, with our lakes, with the tourism, with everything that we do here. The environment is not something that we can not take seriously.
Absolutely. As again, with all things, what we invest in, mm-hmm. what we protect and give energy to, that is how we are rewarded. It's what we get out of it. So I am very much excited to be able to dedicate energy in that regard. And there are so many people around the state who I know will be joining in that important effort.
You bet. So in the last minute that we have, what's something that has surprised you so far in your tenure?
It's been 1 month and 2 weeks, not quite, but I can tell you, I am almost surprised every day by how interesting and how much I will have the ability to learn in this role and the energy that is surrounding this effort. So I think what's surprising me is the sense of optimism that we can work together in Wisconsin and keep us safe and moving forward. So that is what is surprising me, is that type of message from the universe.
We can work together in Wisconsin, keep us safe, and move us forward.
Absolutely.
Senator Jody Havish-Senekin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you both again. Nice to see you all. Thank you.
You too.
Have a
Stick
good
around,
day.
Friends. Next up is our history lesson. I'm Dr. Kristen Lightly. This is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Marvin Gaye shows up to sing the national anthem at the 1983 NBA All-Star Game. And during the rehearsal, it goes 6 minutes long. And they say, Marvin, that's a long song. And he says, yeah, baby. And they're like, you got to cut it down. Come in early tomorrow and we'll practice it. And the next morning he showed up right before he went out on stage and sang it just like this.
Oh my.
And the crowd didn't exactly know what to do, but kind of loved it. They'd never heard anything like it before. And it was just this moment. Now, this was, think about where the NBA was in 1983. It was this moment where a lot of the players were Black, but it had been a very white league. And here there's this man singing in this soulful, sexy way. It was really a departure. And I think a turning point for culture.
Were people upset about it? Because I know that sometimes when certain individuals like to put their spin on the national anthem or maybe a halftime show at the NFL a few days ago, they get all up in their drawers about the poop in their Pampers, and they're like, "Ah, America!" And you're like, just calm down.
You know, I got to say, so I was in high school when this happened. I do not have any memory of this. And I didn't see, as I was going down the rabbit hole, like I do when I prepare for history, I did not see any pushback the way we've seen pushback on Kendrick's halftime.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But what I can tell you is, in 1920, baseball's Negro National League is formed.
Nice.
And in 1923, the New York Renaissance, which is the first all-Black professional basketball team, was organized all on this day. So let's just take a moment and commemorate February, which is Black History Month.
Nice.
Yeah. Now moving on, in 1967, the Beatles released this song as a single in the U.S. with Penny Lane on the flip side.
Do you get goosebumps when you hear this intro? Because I still do.
Yeah.
Let me take it. Renee, are you Beatles, not Beatles? Yay, nay, don't care.
A little bit.
Greg and I are Beatles people.
We're Beatles people.
I have heard you talk about that.
We shoehorned it anywhere we can. We're like, what about the Beatles? We're like, we're talking about abortion access. I know, but the Beatles are great.
Also on this day, 1967, Dolly Parton released her first album, Hello, I'm Dolly.
Nice.
And in 1944, Jerry Springer was born. And the reason I bring this up is because did you know that Jerry Springer, who was born in a tube station in London to Jewish parents who were escaping the Holocaust, who came from Poland, he practiced law, worked for Bobby Kennedy, was the mayor of Cincinnati, and was an Emmy-winning news anchor before he launched the Jerry Springer Show, which is what people know him for.
I knew mayor of Cincinnati.
He was like a legit politician.
Yeah.
The son of Holocaust survivors. And then everything went in a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a 180, that show, from all the other stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the producer. The producer was actually the guy, I watched this whole documentary on it. It was the producer who came from the National Enquirer, who had all of those crazy headlines.
Yeah.
That developed the show and took it on that journey. Interesting, huh?
I just feel, I don't want to say ruined his career then, but it's what he's known for, and all those other things are so important and landmark and whatever, and you're like, but still, cherry.
Right? Yeah. Moving on. Hey, in 1971,
yeah,
do you happen to remember this band, this family band called the Osmonds?
Yeah, I wasn't alive in 1971.
I was. Okay. I was too, though. Hey, their first number one song, One Bad Apple.
Yeah.
It was number one in America for the first of 5 weeks.
I just happen to have that song right here.
Oh. Yeah. I was addicted to this show.
Hey, do you guys want the Jackson 5 with no soul? I give you the Osmonds.
They had a whole variety show.
Oh, yeah.
Donnie and Marie did.
Yeah, it was weird.
I loved it. The skating, a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. Later in the 70s, Madison native Eric Heiden was the first American to win the World Speed Skating Championship. He is still regarded by some to be the best speed skater in history, the only athlete in the history of speed skating to have won all five events in a single Olympic tournament, and the only one to have won a gold medal in all events. It's Peter Gabriel's birthday today. He's 75. I know.
I love Genesis.
I know. And he was so innovative, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then we got to slip this in before we go to break.
Okay.
In 1996, the Fugees released their second and final album, The Score. And this song was the big hit.
Strumming my pain with his fingers.
Mm-hmm. I had just graduated high school. This song and Spiderweb by No Doubt, you couldn't escape these songs.
So good. This is one of my car songs that I sing.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is. Of course it is.
That's the only place I can sing it, because anywhere else it doesn't sound good. Also, it probably doesn't sound good in my car either. In 2021, a major winter storm caused blackouts and killed 82 people in Texas and northern New Mexico. It is National Cheddar Day. That's important to bring up because, you know, we live in Wisconsin.
Are you talking about the cheese or the money?
The cheese, Greg.
All right.
Come on. All right. Coming up in our next hour, meteorologist Brittany Merlot will pop in as usual with a weather update. It's going to be a good one. And we're going to visit with Secretary.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.